Ayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabalaba Gidi Badadhari Gopi Janabalaba Gidi Badadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Dayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Go Premanandi Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribrajaka Charja Ashwathara Sata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Samstapaka Charger, BBT Samstapaka Charger, Ever Loving Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitya Lila Pravishta, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Ananta Gaudi Vaishnavrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Shri Rup Sanatan Bhattaraganas, Shri Jeev Gopala Bhatta Dasaraganas, Sat Kushai Ki Prengsa Goho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhara, Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya, Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jaya, Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jaya, Ganga Mayi Jamuna Mayi Ki Jaya, Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya, Go Premanandi, Shri Haryanam Sankirtan Ki, Shri Brihat Vridanga Ki, Shri the Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki, Transcendental Mahaprasad Distribution Ki, Samabheda Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. I was thinking maybe we could read a verse from Bhagavad Gita today. I get permission? Granted? Okay, we'll read Bhagavad Gita. Let's read text 25 in the fifth chapter. Okay, ready? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, Labhante Brahmanirvanam Rishayaha China Kalmashaha China Dvaidaha Yata Atmanaha Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha Labhante Brahmanirvanam Rishayak China Kalmashaha China Dvaidha Yatatmana Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha Labhante Brahmanirvanam Rishayak China Kalmashaha China Dvaidha Yatatmana Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha Labhante Brahmanirvanam Rishayak China Kalmashaha China Dvaidha Yatatmana Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha Labhante, achieve. Brahmanirvanam, liberation in the Supreme. Rishayak, those who are active within. Chinakalmashaha, who are devoid of all sins. China, having torn off. Dvaidaha, duality. Yata Atmanaha, engaged in self-realization. Sarva Bhuta, for all living entities. Hite, in welfare work. Rataha, engaged. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada ki. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, those whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Purport by His Divine Grace. Only a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in welfare work for all living entities. When a person is actually in the knowledge that Krishna is the fountainhead of everything, then when he acts in that spirit, he acts for everyone. The sufferings of humanity are due to forgetfulness of Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend. Therefore, to act to revive this consciousness within the entire human society is the highest welfare work. One cannot be engaged in such first-class welfare work without being liberated in the supreme. A Krishna-conscious person has no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna. He has no doubt because he is completely freed from all sins. This is the state of divine love. A person engaged only in ministering to the physical welfare of human society cannot factually help anyone. Temporary relief of the external body and mind is not satisfactory. The real cause of one's difficulties in the hard struggle for life may be found in one's forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. When a man is fully conscious of his relationship with Krishna, he is actually a liberated soul, although he may be in the material tabernacle. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Labante brahmanirvanam rishayak chinakalmashaha chinadvaida yatatmana sarvabhuta hite ritaha omagyana timidandasya gyananjana shalakaya Chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri chaitanya mano bishtam stapitam jena bhutale. Swayam rupa kadamayam dadati sapadantikam. Mukam karurivachalam pangam langayate girim. Yat kripata maham bande shri gurun dinataranam. Namashreshtumanum apisachi putram atrasarupam rupam tasyagajam uduburim maturim goshtavatim radha kundam girivadamaho radhika madhavasam prapto yasya patitakipiyo shigurun tandatosmi vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutade Shrimate Bhakti Vidhanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gaudavani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadi Shatarane Vanchakalpudarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare Hare Antai Madalabala Haridasya Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayo Yad Paniyasu Yavasakanda Nakanda Mulahai Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadi Nakashjana Puri Hare Pilajja Me Kim Bruve Purushottama Yuvatinam tata yuni yunam cha yavatao yata Mano birabate tadvam mano me ramatvam twayi Bhumau skalita padanam bhumyareva balambanam Twayi jata paradanam twam meva sharanam prabhu Govinda balabe radhe Pratye tamaham sada tudiyam iti janatu govindomam twayasaha radhe vrindavanadishe karuna mitavahini kripaya tava padabja Nisimayam Pudiyatam. Hare Krishna. We live in a, at the moment, country that is proud of the fact that their population is relatively free, thinking that, you know, the American system is makes one free. Freedom. So this Brahmanirvanam here, but Labante Brahmanirvanam means liberation in the Supreme. We can't actually be free as long as we're in this material nature, as long as we are conditioned by the material energy. It's not possible to be free. We're thinking we're free, but it's just an idea. I don't know if you know this or not. This is a little bit, excuse me for using this as an example, it's a little coarse example. But there were some hackers in America who, when they did that shock and awe thing in Iraq, you know, the first, a part of what they did, I don't know if this was from the government or it was just some, you know, practical jokers, or whether it was, I don't know who did it, but it was reported after this, the first, you know, wave of bombs hit Iraq. Somebody went in to their internet system and they put in some kind of worm or something, and it caused all of the persons that were trying to get some information, their freedom came up in their screen. Freedom, 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 like blink, you know, blink, like Las Vegas, blink, blink, freedom, freedom. And then what happened? They got sent to a pornographic website involuntarily. Right? And whoever it was that did that, what they were trying to say was, look, you know, we're free, we can do this. So this is horrible, actually. It's a horrible thought that this is what freedom is. You know, the freedom to be able to just act like an animal and do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. And first of all, we can't. It's not possible. There's Prabhupada told this story that there are these two goats, rams. You know, when the rams get, male rams are fighting over a female ram, they get very serious. You know, and they look at each other, you know, and they go through a whole procedure. You know, they look at each other, they raise their head and they look at each other, you know, and it's very serious. You know, if you to watch them, you'd think that the whole universe was about ready to crash, you know. And then they bang their heads into each other. You know, they just crash their heads into each other. Like, you've, I don't know if you've seen pictures, but it's quite dramatic, you know. And they're thinking, like, this is, like, the most important thing that's going on right now. But if you walk up and you just go, hut, like that, they just, they just run away. You know, so we build up, you know, in our minds, we build up these ideas, you know, of what is freedom and what is, you know, what is pleasure and what is happiness and what are these things? And it's promoted by all the things that we, you know, the leaders surround us by and, you know, inject into our, the mainstream of, you know, what's going on, our educational systems and our, you know, entertainment systems and our recreational places and everything. And we all become just, and we're thinking that because we can, you know, select this car or that car or this place to go or that place to go within a certain framework, that that means that we're free. But we're not. You know, we're not. Now we're seeing, you know, the effect of this downturn and you know, some of you are like in great anxiety now because it could be that you may have to go back to India, or you have to, you're being, you know, kind of unsettled, you know, because everybody's downsizing, and you know, we get this false sense of freedom and happiness that we get from so-called economic freedom. We have enough to, you know, buy what we want and, you know, do what we want and go what we want and all these things. But it's actually just ephemeral. It's illusory, you know. It's like the will of the wisp. It can go away at any second, you know. And so here Krishna is explaining what real freedom is. Labhante brahma nirvanam. It means to be inside happy, you know, inside to be more than content, to be spiritually awake. And what are those things that prevent us from being like that? Well, first of all, the things that we were just talking about, the mind is cluttered with so many unnecessary and even nasty, you know, desires, dirty things. Therefore, it says here, Rishaya China Kalmashaha. You know, for one to actually be liberated, to be free inside, so that whatever happens outside, our happiness is not disturbed. One has to be pure in heart. One's mind and senses have to be pure. There's another verse in, I think it's the seventh chapter, which I know by heart really well. And I, yeah, yesham twantikatam pavam jananam punya karmanam te dvan vo mohanir mukta bhajanti mam dridavritaha. So we can't actually feel sincerely, you know, affection for the Lord or desire to go and be with the Lord or even the desire to become actually free, as long as all these other, desires and unclean things are there surrounding us, you know, in our hearts. Lavanti brahmanirvanam rishiyak china kalmashaha china dvaida yatatmana. We're in the world of duality. We're thinking that we can't understand what happiness is unless we're miserable at the same time. We're thinking like this. This is what it means to be happy is you reduce the suffering for a certain amount of time, and then we think that that's happiness. It's not actually. Like now it's really windy and cold outside, so we've all got, you know, scarves around and sweaters and, you know, this and that. And we get some temporary, you know, relief from that biting cold, and we think, oh, yeah, things are okay now. You know? But the actual condition, the actual inherent condition of the material world is like that. Dukhalayam, ashaswatam. It's created like that. It's meant to be like that. It's actually meant to be like that. So one cannot become actually happy as long as one is actually thinking that one can make a permanent solution here in this material world. This is the China Kalmasha, the China Dvaida Yatatmana. This is what it means to be free from the duality of material existence. It begins with our conceptions. I was just reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami, and he's explaining that the Lord's energies, there's three basic energies that the Lord employs in order to create this material world, and one of them is willpower, you know. So there's a tremendous willpower behind the force of the material energy. That's Krishna's willpower. And knowledge. You know, you can't create something unless you know what you're doing, unless you have some information. Just like Vaisheshika Prabhu is, you know, explaining to you, you know, how to distribute a book. Simple thing, distribute a book. When it comes through someone who's actually knowledgeable, who's actually experienced, who's actually realized, it just opens up into a whole, you know, science. And there's so much to it. And you get so much you know, happiness. And we were laughing in all the different examples he was using and everything. And this is, it's actually a liberating thing. And Kriya Shakti, you know, action, you know. So these are the Lord's basic, the basic energies that belong to the Lord and that he's using in order to generate, you know, the energies and then manipulate those energies to create a situation which causes the soul to think in terms of duality constantly. And the only way out is to have a proper conception. One's conception has to change. Unless your conception changes, and that conception, that change of conception comes from proper understanding. Proper understanding. It's like, you know, untying a knot. When I was a child, I had a cousin who was a real, you know, I don't know how to say, he was a joker, but he was like a, kind of like not such a nice guy, you know, and he would sometimes tie your shoelaces in knots, you know, and you'd come to, you were in a hurry to get out the door, and there you were. Shoes were, you know, had a, he'd go over, you know, do some kind of, you'd like, well, I'm going to get that guy. So one day I got, you know, his shoes, you know, and I tied him in so many knots. It was like, and I got some extra shoelaces, and I, you know, tied him, and there was a big knot about this big around, you know. His shoes were all like, it was impossible. So this is, you know, it's not possible to untie. It wasn't possible for him to tie. The only thing he could do was to break my neck. Which he didn't break it, but he got on me pretty heavy. He was bigger than me, too. So.
It was tough.
So the things that, those things, this is described in the Bhagavatam, second canto, I mean first canto, second chapter, the china, the knot. What's that verse? Yada yud not gana. Yukta Nibandana Chindani Kovidasya Kurya Kona Kurya Kata Ritim. You see, it's like a knot, and there's so many knots, you can't untie it. You can't. When you try to figure it out how to untie it, it's impossible. And what is it then? A knife, a big knife, a sword, or a cleaver, or whatever you want to call it, and you just have to cut the thing. Cut the knots, you know, and that is Harikatha. That is Krishna Katha. That is proper understanding. It's not just being entertained by something, you know. Of course, Krishna's pastimes are supremely entertaining, and they give us such relief. But it's more than that. The sound vibration. I was reading or listening to Srila Prabhupada the other day, and he was saying how each word, each syllable of description of the glories of the Lord, philosophically or his pastimes, they have in themselves a potency to release one, you know, from the clutches of the material energy. So one who is actually serious, who's actually in knowledge, who actually wants to be free from doubt and live in the world in such a state of being that one can be happy anywhere, under any condition, because one is tasting pleasure from within. He was using this. This was the first line that came out when we were distributing books. I don't know how we did. You know, in the beginning, we didn't have the Master Acharya's like Vaish teaching and organizing. We just had, there was the people, there was the book, and it was like, okay, and then we just started, and it just, we didn't have, it was just right. It was amazing. And then I remember, you know, Tipperary Maharaj, the, you know, our BBT leader later on, but this was before we, Vaish and I joined his party. He came up from Los Angeles, and we were in San Francisco, and I was doing pretty good. I mean, as long as the Sankirtan newsletter was like the best two or three days out of the week, I would win, because I would like work out, and then the other days I was like, you know, but as soon as they made it 6 or 7 days, I was out of the race. You know, because I didn't have the physical stamina to keep up with the big Maharatis. I never did get there to the big numbers. But anyway, but I was thinking at that time, because you know, two days, 3 days, I was really working out, doing well. You know, I think I was number one for a few weeks. I was competing with Sura. And for a couple of weeks, I was number one, and I was like, yeah, okay. And he was coming up from Los Angeles, and I was thinking, well, you know, we'll show him a thing or two. He's like, you know, big guy and this and that, you know. And you remember when he came off the plane, and you were describing it the other day. He had kind of the way his shoes were, and he had his toe was sticking out the shoe or something. I can't remember. He wasn't like somebody that looked real, like, suave and really, like, you know, a big guy. He was but he was so intense, wasn't it? He was so intense. Vaishnav just watched him, and by the time we actually watched him, he had like 10 books out. And we were just like, what happened? And we were like, but anyway, later on we compared notes as in terms of what we were saying to each other, to the people. And it was amazing how many things we were saying exactly the same. You know? And this is knowledge coming from inside the heart, from the supersoul. And we have access to that. We can have access to that. If we want that access, we can have access to the supersoul. He wants. I was talking about this last week, how much Lord Vishnu is waiting and loves the soul and wants the soul to come back to him, and how he's feeling, you know, about the souls that are, you know, it's the only thing he doesn't have. Krishna has everything. He's the supreme controller, the enjoyer, the owner, the controller, the friend, everything. But the only thing he doesn't have is the affection and devotion of a few of us that have decided to come here to this material world. So imagine. You know, he wants us to come back to him so many more times than we want to go back to him. It's, you know, so this is, therefore real liberation means to reawaken our affection for Krishna. And it's not mental. It isn't mental. It can't be had by hearing a lot, even, or acquiring a lot of knowledge, or what was the other one? Nayama. Let's look it up. Let's read it. Can I? Maybe I have it right here. This is a really nice verse. I was reading also. It's in one purport. What page is it?
Nayama.
Oh. Huh? 359. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo namedhaya na bahuna shutena yam evaisha vinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivinute tanum swam. Nayam, mundane knowledge. Atma, knowledge of the self. Pravanena, pravachanena, by discussing. Labhya, comprehensible. Na, not. Medaya, my mental power. Na, not. Bahuna, much. Shutena, by hearing. Yam, for such a person. Eva, indeed. Esha, this knowledge. Vrinute, is concealed. Tena, by him. Labhyaha, comprehensible. Tasya, his. Esha, this Atma, the science of the self, Vrivinute, he reveals. The Supreme Lord is not attained by expert explanations, by vast intelligence, nor even by much hearing. He is attained only by one who he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. So the person who comes into mind when I heard this just now, just obviously in the mind, is Prahlad Maharaj, who was 5 years old and from an external point of view was uneducated. He wasn't so educated at 5 years old. How much education can you have? But he had heard from his spiritual master, Narada Muni, within the womb. So he was awakened. He was carrying this spiritual knowledge within his heart, even though he wasn't so educated. He didn't know so many details. Of course, when he spoke, a lot of details came out, didn't it? But he was not capable, you know, of defending himself, or he was not, you know, vastly learned, you know, in all these things. He was just a little child, you know. But because he was pure, he was pure, and he was humble. He was divine in nature. When his father, Hiranyakashipu, who was a huge, vastly learned, huge controller, tried to kill him, Krishna appeared to him. He chose to appear, and then the situation was solved. There was no more Hiranyakashipu. There was no more danger. There was no more threat, you know, to his existence, to his full liberation. And this is what it means by Brahma Nirvanam, liberation in the Supreme, full liberation. We can be liberated for a moment, or a year, or a few years, or whatever, by something we think. But full liberation, where we can be happy under any condition, in any place. I mean, even the great yogis and great aesthetics, and they don't feel comfortable in an opulent situation. You know? And the opposite. Kings, they don't feel comfortable in a you know, simple situation. You know? But a devotee of the Lord is satisfied in any situation, because he's getting his happiness from within, by direct, personal association, because the Lord has chosen. See, the Lord helps those who help themselves. You know? And then the external thing is that sarvabhuta hite ritaha. You can't see into another person's, you know, mind to tell what's there. It's very easy for people to hide, nowadays especially, in Kali Yuga. There's so much technological equipment, you know, that people hide behind, and so much fashion and, you know, things and that people can, you know, hide behind. And inside they're actually, you know, panicked. But they know how to do this, and they know how to do that, and they know how to do, and therefore they hide behind that, that thing. But here, there's an external way of seeing this internal state of freedom from doubt, liberation, proper conception in the heart. And what is that? Sarva bhuta hite ritaha. It means that one is busy trying to help others. I've had this personal experience that when we are ourselves immersed in some anxiety about something, it can be, there's unlimited things to be in anxiety about in this material world. It's like one thing or another, you know. It's the government, it's the back, or it's the leg, or it's the this, or it's that, or it's, you know, whatever. You know, the miseries of material existence are all-pervading, just like Krishna is all-pervading, Prabhupada said. And it's like there's a sunshine and there's a shade, and you know, you're either in the sunshine or in the shade, and you can get into the sunshine if you want. If you want to keep yourself in the shade, then you'll be cold, you know. So this sarvabhuta hite rita is extremely important, because it is, what did Prabhupada say? He said, one who has life can preach, and one who preaches gets life. There is a mutual cause and effect relationship between vigor, I mean real vitality, spiritual vitality, and the act of giving, helping others. So as far as I can see, you know, Srila Prabhupada was the only one from India who came with this clear message of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is how Krishna defines liberation. That you clear your conception, understand that you're not the body, that you're the soul. And based on that conception, you know, cultivate real spiritual knowledge, connect yourself with Krishna, and then try to give it to others, try to help others. And, you know, there were so many editions of Gita before Srila Prabhupada came to the West, and there were no devotees of Krishna. There were hundreds, literally, of translations before Prabhupada came to the West. But there were no devotees of Krishna. It took one devotee of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, who really, really was on this platform of Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha, who was willing to sacrifice himself in the fire of helping others, who could feel comfortable under any circumstance. The sannyasis, they thought if you go across the ocean, that's it, you're fallen, you're contaminated, you're no longer in the culture. You're ostracized, isn't it? When the Muslims were in charge of India, and it was very easy in those days to convert a person from being a Hindu to being a Muslim, you just had to sprinkle water from their water pot, and immediately everybody would accept that they were a Muslim, and you know that was it. And there was one who was that in Chaitanya? Huh? Subhuti Roy. He was the servant or of the king, and the king beat him or something. Somebody help me with the story. I'm not getting it right. I got to get it right, otherwise it won't be right. The Muslim king had previously worked under Subhuti Roy. And Subhuti Roy disciplined him and with a cane and left a mark on the back. And later on, you know, when Subhuti Roy became what? A ruler? When that person became the king, then his wife saw this mark on his back. And he said, "What is that?" He said, "Oh, when I was a child, I was, you know, under the care of Subhuti Roy. He was like my father, and I did some nonsense, and he disciplined me with the cane, and I've got this mark." And she says, "Oh, really?" She said, you should immediately kill this person. And then that will set an example for others." So he said, "I can't. No, I can't do that. He was just, you know, helping me out. I was a child. He was acting as father. I can't do like that." He said, "Oh, well, anyway, so convert him into a Muslim. That'll teach him a lesson." So he said, "Well, I can do that. That's not such a big thing." So then he, you know, poured his water from the water pot, right? And then everybody, he was a Muslim. Nobody would talk to him. Nobody would, you know how it is in India. You know, it can be some unreasonable. You've experienced this, I think, before, most of you. Maybe that's why you're here. Hare Krishna. Anyway, so he went to one Brahmin, and the Brahmin said, "Yes, there is a prayaschitta. You should drink 1 liter of molten lead, and then you'll be purified. Of course, you'll be dead, but you'll be..." So Subhuti Roy was like, "This is not crazy, not possible, you know." And I think he went to another one. Maybe there was one, or I don't remember how many, but there was another one, and he went to another Brahmin. The Brahmin said, no, this is too extreme. You should drink a gallon of boiling ghee." So then finally he went to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya explained to him that he should go to Vrindavan and he should chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So anyway, that was the mentality of the so-called authorities in India. Prabhupada actually put the blame right there where it belongs, on the caste Brahmins, and how unreasonable they were with, especially people without so much education or without so much qualifications, because they would exploit those persons, the Muslims, and they would make them Muslims, you know. And that's why, you know, in general, the class tends to be, you know, in a certain class. Not nowadays, you don't want to paint it with a brush or say politically incendiary things, but it is a fact of life, and everyone knows it who's lived in India. But anyway, so when Srila Prabhupada, he was so far beyond that. He understood. And it wasn't just one or two people. It was everyone, practically, that was like that. If you were a sannyasi and you came across the ocean, you were finished. You know, so what risk, you know, Srila Prabhupada took? What risk? We read in the Bhagavatam about the gopis and what risk they took to go to be with Krishna. You know, you're ladies in Indian society. You can't just go out into the forest and meet a boy with a whole bunch of other girls. I mean, you can't do that. If you do that, your life's finished. You know, Prabhupada used the example of the queens that Krishna married who were kidnapped by Bhumasura. And when Krishna came and, you know, valorously killed Bhumasura and then said, now you can go back to your homes. He said, we can't go back to our homes. We were kidnapped. We were touched by this guy. And we're okay. We didn't do anything, but now nobody will believe us, and we're finished. Nobody will marry us, and our lives are finished. And he said, so Krishna says, so what do you want? He says, you marry us. And Krishna says, okay, come on. And not only did he marry them, he gave each one of them a palace. You know? So, you know, Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all these mundane, you know, rules and regulations that people speculate about and make up that are not actually, you know, according to God's laws. They're man-made laws, but they contradict, actually, you know, God's laws. And that's the nature of this age. That's the nature of the Kali Yuga. So this verse is very, very important because it is a very key Sankirtan verse. Because it explains how to display, you know, the liberated condition to Krishna, you know, to convince Krishna and get that so that Krishna will choose you. That's what that verse that we've just read from said. It requires this. It requires that you act, not that you try to see Krishna with eyes that cannot see Krishna anyway. But you act in such a way as Krishna will be so attracted to you that he will come and stand in front of you because he's attracted to you. That's what it requires. That's what it takes for Krishna to choose you. And that means you have to do something to get his attention. And there's nothing that you can do to get his attention more than to try to explain Christian consciousness to others. And we have some personal experience of this because personally I am a very unqualified person. You cannot imagine how unqualified I am. But here I am sitting in front of such a learned assembly, speaking words of wisdom. It's inconceivable to me. Inconceivable. But it's because we got Prabhupada's attention. You know, when he told us to go out and distribute books, we did it. And he liked it. And even there was controversy about how it was done or this or that. Now you have person who has been through everything and he's come out the other side and he knows how to do it in a way that is not controversial. You know, but we didn't know those things. Remember I told you when we're there, the people, there we are. The people we are. And we tried anything and everything and some of the things we tried weren't too cool. If you know what I mean. It was real trial and error. We said things and did things that weren't so cool, you know. And, you know, some people got upset with us, and it caused a shake, you know. And so now, you know, you're very, very lucky. You know, you're very, very lucky to be guided by mature. We were talking about the mature fruits, you know. These are the real mature fruits. He's trying to say, oh, yeah, who do you meet? And it's a little favorable, this and that. No, these are the real mature fruits, the ones who are actually convinced and have realized who they are and can explain it in a way that makes it not only clear, but motivates you to do the same thing. That's who Srila Prabhupada was. That's what he could do. Without any help from anybody. We're just little, little, not even atomic particles, But the atomic particle of the sun is connected to the sun, and it gives light and it gives heat because it's connected to the sun. So if we keep ourselves connected with Krishna, if we inquire submissively and sincerely, remove the doubts which make that friction inside of us. You know, when you want to surrender but you can't because there's doubts in the way, and then that causes friction. It causes heat inside, and it makes us feel uncomfortable, and we know we're not liberated. And then how can I, give Krishna consciousness to somebody else when I'm like this? Huh? How can I chant Hare Krishna because I'm like this? And this prevents people from doing so many things spiritually. But Lord Chaitanya just wiped that all out. He said, no, never mind. Never mind what your qualifications are. Never mind what you think your qualifications are. Never mind what anybody's qualification is. You just try to explain this secret of spiritual life and spiritual existence, that we're not the material body, that we're actually spiritual beings, and we have eternal life, we have an eternal happiness, and we are full of knowledge in our original state, in our original spiritual existence. And that's what we're looking for. That's what all these, huge university systems is about. We're all looking for knowledge. That's what the internet's about. Oh, Prabhu, just Google it. Just Google it. And now people are thinking they know everything because they just can Google it, and then it comes up, they read it. Yeah, it's like this. You want to know about this? Oh, yeah, Google it. Oh, yeah, it's like this. And they're thinking, and they haven't the foggiest idea, what's going on or who they are or what's going to happen when they die. And the things that they're, Googling are just, making more of a quagmire around them. And this is not helping. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada made this point so many times that this Krishna consciousness is the only thing that can actually bring a person out from that a deep mire of illusion and doubt that is this material existence. Labante brahmanirvanam rishayak china kalmashaha china dvaidhayatatmana sarva bhuta hiterita. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments? Corrections? Chastisements? Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned that without considering any qualification, we should give Krishna to others.
Yeah.
And also you said that one has to be pure in order to be happy.
Yeah.
So initially we start and we keep up the momentum and give Krishna to others. But there is a stage which comes that, at least I think that purity means you're devoid of lust, anger, greed and all those things.
Mm.
So there is a stage which comes wherein you're not pure and you commit offenses and you're not getting the taste the initial thing. So, but when you try to practice all the principles that would make you pure, then there is a tendency that you may, that may not be correct. For example, Krishna says that one should be tulyaninda sutir mauni, like happiness or distress. When somebody tells bad or good, you should be the same. But we are not in the stage where when to tolerate and when to retaliate. Like, for example, if Dhruva has tolerated what his father said, then he could have not seen Krishna. So how do we decide and go beyond this and really practice it?
You got a too smart congregation here. These people are too smart. I think one of you should sit up here and I can sit here. No, this is what that verse is about. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabhak sadur eva samantavya samyak babati sohisa. That's what that verse is about. It's Krishna defining what a sadhu is in terms of one's determination. Apichet sudaracharo, that means even one's still, you know, from time to time maybe acting in a way that is not correct. Even abominable, the Prabhupada translates it as abominable. But if one is actually determined and is engaged in devotional service and does not give up that devotional service under any circumstances, then they are considered liberated even in the material. What is it? Prabhupada says right at the end, when a man is fully conscious of his relationship with Krishna, he is actually liberated, so although he may be in the material tabernacle. That's jivan mukta sa uchite. Even you're in the material world, even though you have to tolerate the pushings and pullings of the senses and the mind while you're in the material body. You know, like Prabhupada, what is that verse? Apuryamanam. I've been saying this verse about 10 times in the last 3 days. Forgive me. It's just so pertinent. Apuryamanam achala pratistam samudram apa pravasanti yadvat tadvat kamam yam pravasanti sarve sa shantim apnoti nakamakami. You know, you can't be peaceful and equipoised like you're talking about as long as you go running after those desires. But you can't stop. You know, we've been in this material world for so long. The subtle body contains the memories from all your lifetimes that you've been in this material world, not just this lifetime. That's why it's so important here, the word Rishya China Kalmasha is important. You know, We shouldn't now do things that are going to cause, you know, reactions and nonsense and pain and suffering. We should stop doing those things. But from what we've done, as long as we've been in the material world, you can't stop those things. Prabhupada uses the example like bubbles come up in a lake or an ocean. The bubble, boom, it comes. There's no, you know, it just comes. It's not accidental. It's coming for a reason, but you don't know consciously what it is. You've never experienced this thing in this lifetime, and all of a sudden this horrible thought comes into your mind, maybe from another lifetime or whatever. So those things, you don't run after them. It's a simple question of that. You don't run after them. And if you do that, if you practice doing that, and Krishna admits to Arjuna, Sangshya Mahabaho. Mano durgnigraham chalam. I said this the other night in a class, that Krishna, when he's responding to the question of Arjuna, you know, this is very difficult to control the mind, isn't it? You know, vayor eva sadusgram, like more difficult than to control the wind, isn't it? And Krishna says, mano durnigraham chalam. He says, not only is it nigraham, it's durnigraham. It's very difficult. It's even more difficult than you probably know. You know, I know how more difficult it is. But vairagyana chigriyate, that by constant practice and detachment, and that's what the key word is. Detachment doesn't mean that you don't feel something. It doesn't mean that there isn't an impediment. It doesn't mean that there are obstacles, that there are no more obstacles to overcome. That's what it means to be in the material world. This is what it means to cultivate knowledge. A part of what it means to cultivate knowledge is to understand that that's the nature of this material world, and you're not going to stop that. You're not going to. The material world isn't going to change because you've become Krishna conscious. But you, inside yourself, you can control how you respond, how you react to those things. You can't control someone from coming up and, you know, being in your face about something. You're at work, you know, and you're minding your business and you're doing everything nice, and some guy just comes up to you and, like, you know, says something nasty or says something to your boss and makes your life more complicated or whatever. You can't control those things. But what you can control is how you respond to it. That's the liberated condition. That's what it means to be fixed. Not that, you know, there won't be, and that can be achieved by practice. Like anything can be achieved by practice. Practice makes perfect. We learn that in school. Practice makes perfect. So if you practice this, you know, until you can actually not respond to those things, those, you know, the contaminations that are there in the material world inherently, then you can live, then you can be, and gradually, by doing this for a long time seriously, it will back off, the influence will back off, and even if you do that, even people will be nicer to you in general. You can't control everybody, but the more Christian conscious you become, the more the atmosphere you put out of caring, really caring, and loving the soul, because the soul is a part of Krishna, and taking care of everything around you, because it actually belongs to Krishna. You come to that state of consciousness where everything is that important to you, because it actually belongs to Krishna. And people will respond. Your bosses will respond. Your husband will respond. You know, your kids will respond. You know, everyone will respond better towards you. Okay. There's a line where it's not your fault. You know, you're going out, and Prabhupada used to say this, Prabhupada, I'm going out, and so few people are taking it. That means I'm not pure? Prabhupada said, no. It doesn't mean that you're not pure. I mean, they're not pure. That's their problem. It's not your problem. You know, you can only try yourself, and you can only do what is proper yourself. That's the other thing, is the other person's problem. So with this knowledge, with this practice, with this company, with this association, with this lovely atmosphere that's created when we seriously discuss these things and seriously try to apply our minds and our senses in devotional service to help others, which means to help each other. Doesn't mean just to help, you know. I mean, you know, we're helping each other all the time. Even when we're halfway around the world, we're talking, what, every day, every other day, something, as much as we can on Skype. You know, this is the boat. The association of the devotees is the boat. You know, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra kuri. Lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. So you stay in the association of the devotees and keep trying. Don't stop trying. That's what Krishna wants to see. He wants to see your sincerity. He wants to see, you know, how serious you are. He wants to see whether you're doing it for him or for you. And when it gets a little tough, and it will get tough, you know, and you keep doing it, you keep your service going, you keep chanting, you keep hearing, you keep trying, then at some point Krishna becomes convinced. And then he will come to see you. And then it's finished. Then there's no, it's effortless. When Krishna decides that he wants to be with you, what can you do? You couldn't get him, and you can't keep him away. Therefore the gopis, what did they pray? I try to get this guy out of my heart, but I can't do it. Darn it. Eh? All I do is remember this Krishna, and it's causing me to be like, get out of here. Go away. No, can't do it. Because once he's attracted to you, and once you're, you know, favorite of his, that's it. Prabhupada used to laugh at us. You know, we would say something, I don't remember, something inane or something. Prabhupada would laugh, and he said, yes, Krishna tricked you. Now you can't get away. You meet devotees who really have tried. They try. Sometimes devotees, they just can't make it, and they go out and they try to do sinful activities, if they can, they suffer more. This is how intelligent Krishna is. He's so clever, you know, that he's given us this taste, and now if you go and you know, and this knowledge, and if we, like, you know, because we're neophytes, we want to go away and we want to do some nonsense and think we're free and this and that, we suffer more than before, and then we have to come back to him because there's nowhere else to go. Of course, that's not our mentality. We're not with Krishna because, oh, there's nowhere else to go. Okay, Krishna, I'll be with you. It's not like that. It's not like that. But sometimes, you know, due to the influence of second nature habit, or, you know, a mentality that is not yet, you know, we're clinging still to, you know, attachments in the mind that keep us from, you know, going completely. Krishna looks at us and he says, this guy's a real idiot, you know. So I'm not going to cooperate with this. I'll give him some medicine. See, so once you've surrendered to Krishna, one time, you've actually given yourself to Krishna, one time, fully. Now this is the thing. It has to be fully. It can't be, you can't trick Krishna. Because he's in your heart watching everything. So this means if you actually approach Krishna and you give yourself, Krishna, for this day I'm yours, please take me back. Please. I'm helpless, I'm this, I'm that. From that day on, that you actually do that unconditionally, Krishna takes charge. And then when your mind overcomes you and you do all this nonsense, then Krishna, he arranges things in such a way that it will appear externally that you're having some sinful reaction or sinful activity or something. But it's just to administer medicine to correct that mentality that got you into that position in the first place. That's the thing. And what do? Just like a son who, you know, is you know, the heir to the fortune, has to stay alive to get the inheritance. You just have to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. You have to keep chanting and keep hearing and keep praying and keep in this association. Isn't it? It's true. It's true. And we're tasting it right now at this moment. It's so sweet. It's so excruciatingly sweet. You can't give it up. Once you've tasted this, what it's like to actually be liberated, while we're hearing Krishna Katha properly and it's coming down from Krishna without, you know, changing it, without any motive, without any manipulation. It's just Hari Katha and we're happy together, glorifying Krishna. That taste is so sweet and so, you cannot give it up once you tasted it. And therefore Prabhupada laughed at us. You can't give it up. He said, you can't go away. So please just continue. Just continue. Don't worry. That's why Krishna said, Ma Suchaha. He said, you try this. You give yourself to me, and I will make sure that all your sinful reactions are nullified. Don't worry. That is pure faith. We talked about it the other day in somebody's house, in Haridev's house. You know, that is pure faith. Pure faith means the understanding and the acceptance that if I become fully Krishna conscious, that everything will be done. Anything that I have ever desired, things that I haven't even desired, that I don't even know I want, I will get. Everything is accomplished. That is, what's the word? Vishvatma, that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the teachings. Yeah. Say it loud and clear. Slow and loud and clear. Get the page number. 3? 1, 2. Shada shabde, shadha shabde vishwas kahe surida nischoy krishne bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hoy. By rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, is called shraddha. Ashradana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa apraptimam nibartante mrityu sangsaravartmani. And if you don't have that faith, if you're faithless, if you don't believe Krishna, you know, Krishna is not a liar. He came and he showed what he could do. His word is never fails, never. And the only way that the atheists can get out of it, of this obvious conclusion, because it's the history is just clear as a bell, is to define the literatures as mythology. It didn't really happen. It's just a story. So you have to give that up. You have to give up that doubt that Krishna may not have been a person, that he may not really have done what he did. Luckily for us now, even the technology is starting to pick up evidence, isn't it? It's starting to pick up evidence. They're finding in their archaeological digs, which I think Sariputta calculated, you know, the percentage of earth that they have actually been able to search is so small to the whole, they really can't make any statements. Not really scientifically, they can't. But even the small evidence that they've gotten, they're getting information. They found something underneath the Bay of Dwarka, you know. Huh? Yeah. They found a huge, in over on the other side, in Bengal, they found this huge under the water. They're seeing it from their satellites. Yeah. They picked up the other day. About a month ago, there was something that came, a real breakthrough. They found a deity, you know. It was in... I don't want to make a mistake. Anyway, it's happening regularly, where they're finding murtis of Vishnu, Nishinga, in North America, in South America, in Russia, in Africa, here and there. They're finding them. There are people who are actually, as Sariputta put out and pointed out, and Dhritakarma points out in his book, Forbidden Archaeology, that they're systematically trying to avoid putting the pieces together so that everyone can see clearly that what the Bhagavatam says is actually true, what the Mahabharata says is actually true, and that the leaders nowadays are just misleading people. And they are. Therefore, Prabhupada used to, if you've listened to his lectures carefully, he uses the word rascal a lot. He uses the word rascal a lot because they are rascals. They are rascals. They're trying to say that Krishna is not a person, that he didn't really exist, but they don't have any evidence that he didn't exist. You know, you can go to the places, you can see the deities, you can, you know, thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people go to these places in India. You know, you're devotees. We're just aspiring. Agyascha shridanasya sangshiyatma minashati nayam loko stinaparo nasukam sangshiyatmaha. When this doubt is there, when this faithlessness, when you don't believe in the Shastra, you don't believe in Krishna, then not only in this life, but in the next life, you can't be happy. This is the source of happiness. And especially for those of born in this culture, for those of you born in Indian bodies in India, in this culture, especially you suffer when you have those doubts. Can't be happy doubting Krishna. Therefore, when we went over to India during, when was it? In 1989, and I think the Mahabharata series had just come out, yeah. You know? And when it was a serial, and it came out like once a week, and, you know, for an hour, India just stopped. We couldn't get anything. I was going to the store. Everybody's around there. Sir, I want to check into your hotel. It stopped completely, isn't it? Were you there? Anybody saw that? Oh, yeah. How is that possible? Can you imagine something like that happening in America? And they're thinking they're superior? Phew. It's ridiculous. This is a treasure. To know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to actually know that, is the symptom of one who has received the mercy of Krishna. Gopinath Acharya, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya started to argue with him, he was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was like a huge scholar. He knew millions of more slokas, even than Vaishnavas. And he was big. He had so many sannyasis coming to be his disciples. But he didn't know anything. And when Sarvabhauma was arguing with Gopinath Acharya, he said, "What's the evidence that you've got that you've received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya?" He says, "I know he's God." And then he quoted the shloka. I don't remember what the shloka was. But I know he's God. That's the evidence in itself. That's the evidence. But when you're a rascal, you won't accept that evidence. No, no, that's not evidence. What real evidence do you have? It's like you're giving the evidence and you're not accepting the evidence, and you're saying, what evidence do you have? You know, don't waste your time with people like that. Lord Chaitanya was so kind. He was very, very powerful. Anyway, I feel like I'm just kind of spinning my wheels a little bit. I'm going on and on now. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Thank you for the lovely question. Lovely question. That was a great question. I'm late. Huh?
So, Maharaj, thank you for coming here once again. This is, Maharaj is leaving on Tuesday, so this is his last class at ISV.
Just...
For now.
For a few days.
For a few days.
I'm trying to figure out, this morning I actually realized that I'm going to be leaving day after tomorrow, and there was Vaisha and Neera, and we were having breakfast together, and I was saying, what the heck am I doing? Where am I going? You know, I'm trying to make an arrangement so I can stay and be with you more, honestly. But the thing is, Shivaram Maharaj is my dear friend, and I'm his editor, and he's got this book he's working on, mammoth book, and he wants me to go on a 5-month marathon with him to edit this book, which I think is a little crazy, but anyway, and that's going to start after Kartik. So this next year is like it's turned my year upside down next year, but I'm not going to do that again. I want to come here more. I can't promise anything. Better you don't promise and then don't do. Whenever you say you're going to do, then you do. So I can't promise, but that's what I want. I want to come and spend more time, you know, with Vaishan, with you all. And it's such a lovely atmosphere. It's such a lovely spiritual atmosphere. Just continue this. Don't stop. And, okay, so the governments and everything is trying to, bosses and everything is trying to, you know, but whatever it is, don't give up your Krishna consciousness and just pray like anything that you can stay together. And even if you have to part, come back together once this thing is all, you know, it will. It comes and goes. Ups and downs are natural in the material world. But this is too precious. What you're experiencing here together, it's too precious. I know, I go all around, and you don't find this atmosphere in very many places. It's very rare. They're very rare. So cherish it. Covet it. That's the proper utilization of attachment. You know, what is that verse? The attachment to the permanent, or the attachment to the non-permanent is very, very bad. But attachment to the right thing is very, very good. So don't give up attachment. Give up this Mayavadi idea. That, oh yes, I am this, you know. If Krishna wants, I'll come to, you know. If Krishna wants, I'll come to the temple. What he has to do, come and beat you over the head with a club, you know? He says, in every page of his books, he says he wants you to come to the temple. Oh, no, Krishna's everywhere. Okay, if he's everywhere, then he's here. So come here. No, he's everywhere. When Krishna wants, he'll tell. We have to give up all that nonsense, rascaldom, and respond to Krishna. That's all. And the reciprocation we get is, it's so valuable, it's not possible. Do you know that one particle of dust from Goloka, from Goloka Vrindavan, one particle of dust is more valuable than all the wealth in all the universes of the material existence put together? You know, and you want a Lexus? I mean, really? Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.